So today the holy city's ramping up for the feast of Passover when a few Greeks come looking for Jesus. Who knows how word reached them? Who knows who they even are, right? These Greeks, other than the plain fact that they are you and me, non-Jewish tag-alongs mostly, crashing this anniversary of the wedding between Israel and God. This feast of Passover. But why come at all? I guess because Artemis or Zeus or Plato's one or Aristotle's first mover never looked anyone eye to eye and vowed to have and to hold till death us do part. For that matter, neither have the invisible hand of the market, or the nation, or self-realization, or the universe, or any of the other gods that we Gentiles give our hearts away to. Because the Lord God of Israel is the only God who ever gave a damn, who said, I will, and I do. The only God whose name is love. And so apparently the mere chance to witness flesh and blood Jews remember ritually how God spelled out that name within their own history like a promise. And the chance to edge just enough into the circle of the crowd to touch the mere hem of that name. That's what's drawn these unnamed outsiders to Jerusalem. And from there, though, like one thing leads to another, right? They hear about Jesus somehow. They track down one of his posse and ask if they can see Jesus. And that in turn triggers this game of telephone from Philip to Andrew to Jesus himself, who, by the way, has spent the entire Gospel of John telling everyone cryptically that his hour has not come yet. And at the request of these random foreigners, gets this odd, faraway look in his eye and says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Before launching into what seems to be an introductory lecture for Horticulture 101, but ends up not really being about seeds and fruits, but in the end about life and its counterfeits. And Jesus' decision to choose the real thing. And then a shadow falls over Jesus and the air grows a little bit cold the way that it does on a spring day when a high rise blocks out the sun for a moment. Now my soul is troubled, he says. And if we're paying attention, we are learning here that the choice to live like a seed, to yield body and soul for the good of others, trusting only the generosity of the named God. That's not straightforward. And that's not easy, even for Jesus, apparently. And it seems like what Jesus heard in the words of those Greeks reported to him was the bell tolling his name, resonating with the past and with the future. And all the way from the ancient past, you can hear the voice of that mysterious servant from Isaiah's prophecy merging into the weary anguish of Jesus. I've labored in vain, says the servant Israel. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity. And if we're listening, that we are learning that Jesus is on intimate terms, not only with sorrow, but with that gnaw of futility in the pit of your stomach that says, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And yet we listen as that fear of futility yields to something else. As a promise breaks in answer to Isaiah's servant's despair and to Jesus's, and it echoes into his ear in this moment too. I have given you, says the divine voice, as a covenant to the people, a light to the Gentile non-Jewish nations too, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth. Because just there, in Jesus's long speech, when you thought that he had lost the plot of the conversation like three digressions ago, he says to Philip and Andrew and a whole gathered crowd, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And if you're listening, and you realize that he's talking about Friday, that he's talking about a marriage covenant signed and sealed in his own blood, that he's talking about the Greeks who started this whole chain reaction with their question. And of course, that means that he's talking about you and me. At the end of the world, ends of the earth, caught up in that very same reaction that started on that day. Now, so we're at the edge of that circle. And we know that this damn virus won't leave. And we know that we're tired. And we know that our gods haven't come through for us. And we know that if there's a chance that there really is a God whose name really spells love, and that this is the place to come, then why ever we clicked that link tonight, then frankly, when it comes down to it, we too want to see Jesus, to see Jesus. And just now, maybe just now, he turns his face toward us, over the heads of that crowd. And for a moment, he meets our eyes too. And you can read something spelled out on his face like it's a name. And he has us, and he holds us in his gaze, as if he's making a vow.